Praise the Lord this morning and tonight and tomorrow. God is good, and it is awesome to be in the house of God this morning. We're excited to have everybody here. If this is your first time here or watching online, welcome to Calvary Gospel Church. Welcome to the family of God. We are a family. You could tell by, you know, the fact that we're all still talking and just having a great time. But we also like to worship God together, and that's why we're here. And so this morning, let's stand. I want to have you stand, kind of get the juices flowing. If you weren't, you stand up, down. We're going to stand, and we're going to just pray. Before we start, the Bible says, do all in the name of the Lord God. Do all in the name of Jesus. Let's just pray that God would have his way in this service. But not just generically, not like, you know, let the drummer hit his things and stuff. No, but let's pray that God would speak to each of our hearts. Okay, let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this place, for this family, these people. God, I pray, Lord, that you would have your way in this service, God. I pray that you would speak into my heart, into every heart that is here, every mind, God. God, anything that's distracting us, God, I pray that it would just be gone. Let us be less of you and less of our lives and less of our week and more of you. More focus on you and worship for you, God. More listening to your word, God. Speak it to our hearts today in Jesus' name. You could be seated. We have a couple of announcements. If this is your first time, we have a little card at the kiosk. If you go out there and you want to fill out just a couple quick questions as we get to know you better, we'd appreciate that. We just want to get to know you. And also, if you're online, there's a bit.ly link right up there, bit.ly/connect to CG. And so you can check that out. Once again, we're just thankful to have you here and just happy that you're worshiping with us this morning. If we do have some giving options this morning, we're not passing anything, but there's out at the kiosk, there's a plastic box, plexiglass. You can put something in there if you'd like. You can also send it in the mail or go on the website, or we also have a Church Center app, which you can find on there, CGC Madison. Oh, sorry, that's online. There's a Church Center. If you search that on all the stores on your phones, you can find the Church Center app. There's also an opportunity to stay involved and understand what's going on and give on there as well. This week, starting tomorrow, Every January, the church does a focus. We want to be praying and fasting throughout the year, don't get me wrong, but a focus for the beginning of the year. And so Pastor Roy's going to be bringing that up. But so I just want to remind everybody, this week is the all-church prayer and fasting. And so Pastor Roy's going to be defining that and really helping guide and set the vision for what he has for this church. I encourage you to take part of it. It's going to be awesome. The last announcement I have is about midwinter camp meeting. So the midwinter camp meeting that we go to for the United Pentecost Church International is at Parkway Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. So that's just south of Milwaukee. And that takes place January 26th and 27th. There's services in the evening and on Friday morning. So if you'd like to go and be blessed and hear God's word from just another person and more fellowship with maybe another family of God, we would encourage you to go. It's going to be a great time. And then lastly, Pastor Jerry's got an announcement for our connection group fair. So Pastor Jerry.
Greetings, church. I know I look weird. I have some glasses on. I'm not comfortable with them yet, so I might be doing this a lot, but we'll figure it out. I just want to talk to you about our connection fair, February 5th. It's coming up pretty quick. It's been bumped up this year a little earlier, and so if it seems like it's coming up quick, it is. And so just be aware of that as ministry leaders and connection group leaders. Pastor Roy has asked me to take about 5 minutes or so to kind of cast a vision of why we're doing connection groups and things like that. And so I'd like to explain to you the why for just a moment. First of all, the first reason why we're doing this is because we get what we pray for, amen? And the mission statement of Calvary Gospel Church is very simply to connect to God, to connect to each other, and to connect to the world around us. I changed it a little bit and added the word connect in there because that's really what we're trying to do is just connect to each other, connect to the world around us. And we use connection groups, we use Bible study groups, we use ministry groups, all types of groups to do that. And so another reason why we do a connection fair is because you get what you plant. Amen. The law of sowing and reaping is when you plant something, God intends on letting it be blessed. He'll bless it. These glasses are annoying me. God will bless that thing and allow it to grow. But if we never take the time to make the effort to plant something, it can't grow, right? And so we are intending and purposely planting groups in our church, ministry groups, Bible study groups. We plant connection groups in order to have a harvest, amen? Also, you get what you preach. And Pastor Roy, for the last couple years, especially since COVID, has really preached to us the necessity of connecting to God, connecting to each other, but also connecting to the world around us. It's vital. And so we are expecting, we've heard our pastor, we've heard our preacher preach, and now we're doing the actions that he's asked us to do. He's also permitted us to do it. One of my favorite things about Calvary Gospel is that our pastor is permitting people in the pews to do the things that God has called them to do. It's kind of like an open door for ministry. If you haven't ever been to a church that's kind of on lockdown, it can be very frustrating. That's not an issue here. As long as you're willing to work with us, we're willing to work with you. And so there's many leaders. There's leaders on every pew in here doing the things that God has called them to do. Another thing is that you get what you promote. The reason why we are having a connection fair is that we're trying to promote all of our different and various groups that we have. I can't even list them all. There's about 30 to 40 groups that will be represented in that room. And who was here last year at the connection fair? Raise your hand. Did you enjoy yourself? Did you learn things that were happening in our church that you weren't aware of? So we're doing this to try to promote all those things so that if there happens to be some point in your life during this year that you stumble upon somebody that has an interest or needs something, and you remember, top of mind awareness tells you that when you were at the Connection Fair, you saw a booth and you met someone whose their ministry lines up with this individual, you can connect them to that group. You get what you prepare for. You also get what you pay for, right? One of the things is that we are investing in these connection groups, and so we're trying to show everybody, we just want to put on put up the sign, so to speak, like the Old Testament prophet. God gave him a vision, and he said, write it on a board and put it up and so that someone running by would be able to see it and read it. And so God was investing in that prophet a sign. And so you're going to see when you go in there, you'll be able to run in there and see all of the different things that God has spoken to individuals in our church, things that God has asked them to do in their lives, youth leaders, hyphen ministry, all these different things. And so that is part of it. We are investing in it, but we're also preparing for it. We're preparing for a harvest. If we didn't have a connection groups, we wouldn't have the ability to bring people in through Full Throttle or the Board Gamers community. We wouldn't have the ability to do that. And so this is the reason why. Everybody say why. This is why we need you to be there and help support all the ministries of our church. And so February 5th, we'll have a normal 10 a.m. class. Adults and kids will have our normal class. 11 a.m., there'll be a worship service just like today and a normal sermon. But we'll end a little early at 11:30, and then we'll all go into the fellowship hall and we'll go to go to every booth, learn about what's happening, get connected with things that you haven't been connected to before. Maybe you might want to join the care ministry. Maybe you didn't realize there was a Bible study in McFarland. Maybe you didn't realize that there was a hyphen volleyball group and you are perfect because they need someone to help win the games. And you never know. You might be the guy or the girl. So, amen. Every ministry and every connection group of CGC will have a booth in the fellowship hall on that day. Brother Ty, he's not here right now. I don't see him, but he's going to be helping us with the Chicago-style hot dogs again, so we're going to do that again. There'll be many snacks, but we're asking everyone to please come and support your friends and your church family as they show off what they're doing this year and just get awareness out there. The groups like Young Mothers, the Young Mothers group, helping young moms get connected in support and fellowship, that's a need that we're meeting through connection groups. Groups like Full Throttle, who meet at drag strips and go to car shows and meet individuals who are interested in cars and somehow start up and strike up conversations about Jesus. Amen. And so we're just expecting an awesome day. So everybody, would you please just help support all of our different ministries, all of our different connection groups and our Bible study groups that day on February 5th. Amen. And if you would stand, we're going to worship the Lord in song right now.
To worship this morning? Not so much, still a little tired.
There is no shadow that has ever overcome your light, and there is no rival that could ever stand against your might. You've always been with us. Every battle you've already won.
He's the God of the we praise your name, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anything can happen. For a special event, and I love the words because it just made me think right away of that scripture that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as I was considering that, you know, in my mind I was thinking, as Peter had talked about this morning, you know, God parted the waters then, and he can part the waters today in our lives, and we can all get with that and agree with that. But as I was preparing this week, I really felt the Lord speak to me about this particular song. Because yes, although he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, there's another aspect of it. And that is that I feel like the Lord wants to remind somebody that whatever situation that you have right now that might feel impossible or hard, or you don't know the next step, or you're struggling to give up things, or whatever it may be, that even though you can't see, God is still moving. even though you might not know or you can't experience it or you're not feeling it or whatever it may be, He is still moving despite what you see, despite what you may feel, despite what situation may have happened that day. He is moving and He is still trying to prove to us just how great He is, how wonderful He is, that there is nothing too difficult or nothing too hard. And you know, I don't know if this is acceptable and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm just in this last few minutes of worship that we have, I wonder if someone would be willing to step out in faith. To step out in faith and say, yeah, I have an impossible situation, or I have a really hard circumstance, or I have something that I'm having a difficult time with, or something that's challenging me, or something I don't know the next step to take. I wonder if you could just step out in faith, and despite feelings, despite what we see, that we could declare, you know what? But His word says that He never leaves us or forsake us, and He is still moving, and He is still proving just how great He is, and that there's nothing too hard for Him. And so if you're willing and you're comfortable with that, why don't you just step out? Step out to the front. Step out into the aisle, whatever it is, as we sing this song for the next couple minutes. Thank you, Jesus. He's still moving.
He's still proving just how great.
Today. And we're not going to stop worshiping. We're just going to change a little bit of direction. I have a little bit of instruction I want to give. And then we can come back to worship. And some of you may have noticed, some of you may not have noticed, but the pews that you're sitting in has new material on the backs. If you want to make that observation, the back of your pews have all been redone. The bottoms will be started yet this afternoon after our Spanish service. The crews will be coming in and taking the pews apart again and putting material on the bottom. So we're excited about that. Also, before we get too far into this, we have a young couple here today that recently made a trip to Florida with their family, and came back. Ethan, you romantic. He finally was able to save up enough money for a dowry to take and pay to Brother Jim. So I asked him, I said, include some extra ribeye steaks in there to pass some of those on. So, but Brother Ethan proposed to Sister Abby, and they are engaged. And I'm excited for both of them. The Rivas family has been part of Calvary Gospel Church for a long, long time. And we love and appreciate this family. I was able to take and baptize all three of their children in their swimming pool. It's the only baptism I've ever been able to take and be a part of that at the end, Brother Peter, I got the cannonball into the baptismal tank. So I can say here today, I did successfully cannonball into a baptismal tank. So we're going to read, congratulations again. We're going to read from our scripture and then you can sit down. But we've been talking about pressing on. Last Sunday, we spoke about pressing on, pressing into revival, preparing our house for revival. We're talking about preparing our church, the body of Christ for revival, but we're also talking about preparing ourselves, our individual households. Whether you live alone or you have a family, you still have a household. And we need to prepare ourselves for revival. And the only way that's going to happen is if we continue to press on. Press forward. Because the enemy is not shy and he's not backing off. The closer we get, the more he realizes he's not foolish, he's not stupid, he knows the book. He knows as well as we know where he's going to end up for all eternity, and he is doing everything he can do to wreak havoc among the church and among the world. That's why the world is getting worse and worse and worse. So Philippians, Paul is writing to the church at Philippi. He says in chapter 3, verses 3 through 15, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press," everyone say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect and thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you." You can be seated. Another version puts it as this. Paul is saying, this one thing that I do, I'm going to forget the past. The past holds us so many times in bondage and in shackles. There's one thing that I do, forget the past. I'm going to forget the fact that I used to chase Christians around and kill them. Paul had quite a sordid past. He had quite a past. So for him to say, I'm going to forget the past and I'm going to press to what lies ahead. But also understand something. The people he was preaching to were going to have to forget the past as well. They were going to have to forget that Paul used to chase them around and try to kill them. Puts it in a little bit different perspective, doesn't it? He says, I'm forgetting the past and I'm pressing to what lies ahead. I don't care what's happened. I'm pressing forward. I don't want to become complacent. I don't want to get stuck where I am. I am going to press on. I'm going to press forward. Paul acknowledges that he isn't at the level that he wanted to be yet. He has not yet arrived after all that he had done, after all of the various miracles and the writings and such. He realized that he was not where he really wanted to be. I love how Paul puts this when he says, the things that I want to do, I can't get myself to do. The things I should be doing, I'm not doing. The things I don't want to do, I do. And he's really kind of laying it out that, you know what? I'm Apostle Paul. I know some of you may look at me one way. Some may look at me another. You may look at me as this great, great man of God. But he's saying, listen, I don't want to become complacent and stuck. And I don't want to take, I do dumb things sometimes. And I don't want to get stuck in those dumb moments. Anybody ever just like sometimes shake your head after you do something stupid and think, now why in the world? You look around to see who's looking. Yeah, we've all done that. See who listened, who was watching. Paul acknowledged he's not arrived, that he's still a work in process. And I think every one of us here today can come to the conclusion or come to the same process or come to the same end that Paul is, that we are still a work in process. God is still working on me. I love that little the children's song, He's Still Working on Me to Make Me What I Ought to Be. Took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. How loving and patient He must be. But He's been working on me, Brother Peter, for 60 years, and He's not done yet. And it's not because He can't do it, it's because of our stubbornness at times, isn't it? So he realized he does not consider himself to have attained or have taken hold of the fullness of Christ. Neither has he reached his desired goal. He realized that God is still pruning him and God is still shaping him and he is striving to improve and he will not quit. He says, I press on, I press to a higher calling of God in Christ. And he challenges every child of God to have the same mind as well, that we may not be who and what we wanted, but we can get there. You may not be there today where you ought to be, but you will get there. You may not be there today where you really want to be, but you will get there because you have not quit. If you've quit, you probably wouldn't be here today. Don't give up. Don't give up. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says to lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us and run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. We're not looking to see who's ahead of us. We're not looking at Pastor Peter or Pastor Roy or Pastor Seidel or Pastor Rivas or Pastor Simmons or Pastor Demas. We're looking towards Jesus Christ because He is the author and finisher of our faith. I'm not the author and finisher of your faith. If you put all of your faith and trust in Pastor Roy, you are going to be sorely disappointed because I will disappoint you in one way or another. But if we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we will never be disappointed. God expects us to prepare to facilitate and to expedite revival as we prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ. How many of you believe Jesus is coming again? I believe He's coming. I believe that His coming is so very, very soon. So listen, church, if we're not going to have revival if we do not prepare ourselves for one. This series, as I began to lay this series out, I had no idea that it was going to lay out in such parallel paths as our 10 o'clock adult Bible lesson. But Pastor Peter preached today. Brother Jerry Simmons preached last week. They both did phenomenal jobs. It's running a parallel course because Israel had to prepare and they had to sanctify themselves before they entered into the promised land. And if we're going to have revival, the revival that God wants us to have, Sister Linda, we're going to have to make some preparation for this. If we're going to believe that God is going to send 20,000 souls, we're going to have to do some preparation. Not just try to figure out where to put them all, but we're going to have to do some heart searching on our own. Because I found out over the years that the more God uses someone, the more they have to humble themselves before God. So simply put, pressing on means pressing into battle. We are pressing into warfare, and we must prepare ourselves for the fight. When Paul said that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, understand, I used this analogy last Sunday, wrestling is an up-close and personal battle. You don't wrestle someone at arm's length. You have to get in. You have to take them to the ground. You have to grapple. You have to grab them. You have to smell their sweat. You have to smell their, your head may be right in their armpit. That's wrestling. Ryan Rivest, are you here, Ryan? He's not here today. Ryan Rivest was a high school wrestler. and very, very good at wrestling. He went way up in the ranks in the state. And you don't get there without, if you're afraid to get up close and personal. And what Paul is trying to tell us here is that the devil is going to get right in your face, and you're going to be able to feel, you're going to be able to feel his breath breathing down on you. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. And we can't physically wrestle a spirit. So how do you wrestle against something that's not flesh and blood? Well, we're entering into a season this next week, over the next 5 days, of prayer and fasting. That is how you wrestle against spirits. We're not going into 5 days to wrestle with one another. We're going into 5 days to wrestle against the spirits and the enemy that comes against us. So we have this morning, we have our ushers, and if they would get ready, they're going to be passing out a 5-day prayer guide. And I would like for this to be for one per family unit, if that's okay, because I don't want to have a lot of these just laying around. We have all of our ushers here. Just go ahead and come on forward. I don't know how many we have here, Sister Jess. How many did you? 200? Okay. So one per family unit, preferably. We'll go with that. If we have leftovers, if you want more, if you need another one, then at the end of the service, you can get them. Sister Mo will have them ready for you back there. But we're going to be entering into a field of battle, and we're going to be using prayer and fasting as our primary weapons. And what I want to do this morning is I just want to cover a little bit of our prayer and fasting going into next week. Now, when I talk about fasting, I'm not talking about the Atkins fast or the Mediterranean fast or the Zola fast. If you want to fast, I'm going to leave it up to the individual family unit or individual person as to how they want to fast. Okay, some of you have medical conditions that would prohibit you from a total food fast, and you have to do what you have to do, and you're not going to get any criticism or any judgment from anyone else. Okay, I've talked to some of you, and you're like, you know what, our family's addicted to sugar, it's addicted to soda, and we're going to do no sugar and no carbs. Well, listen, that is a rough go right after Christmas. So you are going to take, and as a family unit, you are going to decide which fast you are going to choose. If you want to fast from sunup to sundown, that is fine. If you want to fast from sugar, that is fine. I'm asking everyone, though, to collectively to fast from the use of social media. Okay? Because we want to understand something. Years ago, I preached this. I don't have time to go into it, but I'm reminded of a dream that God gave me of a large warehouse. And in that warehouse, the floor was littered with all kinds of old weaponry. Like if you were reading Ephesians again, with the sword and the shields and the helmets and all of this laying cluttered on the floor. And I saw all kinds of people from Calvary Gospel Church held bondage, captive in this warehouse. And I remember as I entered into it, the feeling that I had and the question that I asked is, how did this happen? And it was overwhelmingly, we just simply relaxed, we laid down our weapons, and the enemy took us into captive. Church, listen, we cannot afford to lay down our weapons. We come to church, we come prepared for a battle. When you walk into this place, you need to be totally equipped to fight whatever is in this building. You say, well, this is the church. Yes, but we don't control what walks through the doors. And we have all kinds of spirits and attitudes that walk through the doors. And God is preparing us, desires us to be prepared. We are going to break through the forces of the enemy, and we're going to push back through prayer and fasting. Now understand something. The enemy is going to tell us all sorts of things to keep us from accomplishing victory. The forces of hell will do anything to keep us from praying. I want to thank Sister Linda Brown. I talked with her and told her what I wanted to do with our prayer and fasting booklets, and then she sat down with her daughter, Sister Jessica, who works here at Calvary. We all know Sister Jess, and she put her creative mind behind this and turned out a absolutely phenomenal, fantastic prayer guide for you to use through this next week. So as we go through week by week, day by day, it lays it right out. It's very, very simple. You can go through Monday. This is what we're going to take. And as a collective body, as a church, we're going to pray. Monday will be day one. So we are going to take and focus all day long on what we're praying about. I would strongly encourage you to talk to your family in the a.m. hours and not wait until the p.m. hours, because then you can address things and you can think about things as the day unfolds instead of recapping how the day went. This is to equip you. This is to equip your family. So when we look at all of these things, the devil is going to take and use all kinds of things to keep us from praying. He's going to use pleasure. He's going to use misinformation. He's going to use our laziness to keep us from praying. He's going to use entertainment. That's why we shut it off. And he's going to use our busy schedules to keep us from praying. Because he understands that prayer collectively is powerful. Now understand also something about the enemy that we fight is he's not afraid to use a little bit of the truth. He's not afraid to use a little bit of truth. So as odd as it may seem, this great master of deception will oftentimes begin his deception with a dissecting or a incorrect dissecting of the Word of God. That's how he was able to trap Eve when God said, "Thou shalt surely die." He puts one little word in the Word of God, and that's a three-letter word, N-O-T, and totally changed the whole entire outcome and changed the course of humanity. So the enemy is very good at taking and decepting us as we read God's word. We need to prepare ourselves in order to put a stop to the most powerful force in the world, the prayers of God's people. So we're going to cover his game plan, what he's going to do and attempt to do to you and your family this week. I will tell you, there will be some truth woven in there. God already knows what you need. This is what he's going to tell you. God already knows what you need. There's no point in praying, Brother Rico. God can read your mind. He knows. He's going to tell you that you are unworthy. He's going to tell you that this blood of Jesus Christ, that you have sinned too many times and you're not worth it anymore. That's why you can't hear from God. That's why you can't feel God, because you've walked away. You're not worthy and he's abandoned you. He's going to tell you that you're weak. He's going to tell you that your faith is small. God doesn't honor small faith. He's going to tell you that you have no idea whether God will answer your prayers or not, so why even bother? And he's going to tell you that you're only one person, and what good will your prayers be with just one person praying? He's going to tell you that you don't know how to pray. He's going to say God doesn't like that type of, he's going to have all kinds of things he's going to throw at you, and he's going to tell you the number one thing you're going to hear is that you're a sinful person and God won't listen to people that are sinful, and sin is going to block your prayers. Now we could look into the scripture and we could say he's right, of course, but those statements which biblically are completely accurate if you read certain passages of Scripture, don't always tell the whole story, now do they? Just as I said, like Eve in the garden, he takes and puts a spin on it, and it sounds good. But what does God's word really say about each one of these? When I said God already knows what you need. We read in Matthew 6:8, Jesus said, "For your Father knows what you need before you even ask him." So the enemy's going to take and he's going to throw Matthew 6:8 at you. But you respond, what did Jesus then do after he said those words? He proceeded to give us the Lord's Prayer. And he said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." You see, God already knows my need, and that is no excuse to get out of prayer. It should be more motivation to help me pray. So we have to press on. When the enemy says, God already knows what you need, he's going to tell you that this week. You need to keep pressing on, and you need to tell the devil that you know you're not worthy, but you're going to keep pressing on. He's going to tell you that you're unworthy, and there's some truth in this unworthiness buried within that statement. Unfortunately, or fortunately for us, that's kind of beside the point, because Psalms Chapter 130, verse 3 tells us that if the Lord should mark iniquities or keep track of our sins, no one would stand. So when the devil throws that at your face, that you're unworthy, you say, yes, I am unworthy. I am unworthy. But Romans 3:10 tells me that all have sinned and that there's none righteous. No, not one. Paul himself stated that he was chief among all sinners. And I loved hearing the songs about the blood of Jesus. We talked about that last week. It covers my sins and my iniquities. So when the enemy tells you that you are unworthy, you say, you're exactly right, I'm unworthy. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, he makes me worthy. And there's a value placed upon me above any other value. He's going to tell you that you're weak. The enemy ever throw that at you, that you're weak? We read in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When I am weak, then I am strong. So being weak is no excuse, church. We have to press on through all of those accusations that the enemy is going to throw at us this next week. Press on through the weakness, because it is in our weakness that we shall be made strong. The enemy will tell us that your faith is small. It never dawned on me until, I guess I knew it, but I never really put it together, Brother Peter, until I was working on this. Jesus is out on the Sea of Galilee in Mark chapter 4, verse 40. With his disciples, and a great storm blows up. And his disciples are panicking, and Jesus says to them, "Why do you fear? Where is your faith?" If you read the passage, right before they went out to get on the boat, Jesus preached a few parables. And one of the parables he preached about was the mustard seed. And he challenged them in their faith. And then he gets on a boat and allows a storm to come into their lives. And he just got done preaching to them on how to deal with it. And how to show them that such a little seed can speak volumes. And here, they're in the boat. And they're about to sink. And they're panicking. And Jesus says, "What did I just get done preaching to you?" I have inside my Bible, I have a mustard seed taped. Because we had a lesson some years ago. I think it was Brother Morton Buster that preached it. About a mustard seed. We have to understand something. that the enemy is going to tell us that your faith is small and that that's not going to count, that's not going to work. You don't have big enough faith, but a mustard seed is so small. That's why Jesus used the faith of a mustard seed. But you see, that mustard seed, Brother Pete, doesn't have any idea how small it is. It only knows one thing to do. Put it in the soil, put a little water, give it a little light, and it's going to grow. Because that's how God designed it. So you may have little faith. You get into the Word of God, you pray, and you fast, and you know what's going to happen? You're going to add a little bit of moisture, you're going to add a little bit of dirt, and you're going to pray, and your faith is going to grow. So when the enemy looks at you and says, having small faith, you have little faith, having small faith is no excuse. You know how small an atom is? You can't even see them. But you take that little tiny, tiny atom and you split that atom and you get an immense explosion. That's where atomic explosions come from, by splitting something so tiny. So having small faith is no excuse. Little faith can go a long way. So today, take what faith you have, little or not, and press on with it. Press on. You do not know whether the Lord will answer your prayers. How many times have you ever prayed a prayer that you don't know whether or not God is going to answer the prayers? Matthew 26:39 tells us, I see through a glass darkly and pray just that poorly, but ultimately I say, not my will, but thine be done. Listen, folks, it's okay to be content with, to send up your prayers to God and let God answer them. So many times we send our prayers up to God and we try to answer them because God doesn't answer them in our time or how we want him to answer them. We have to understand that our God is in heaven. Psalms 115:3 tells me that our God is in heavens, in the heavens, and he does whatever he pleases. I've had a lot of unanswered prayers in my life. God doesn't answer every prayer, and I don't know why, other than Psalm says that he's in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. I can't give you an answer sometimes why God does the way he does or doesn't answer. But you see, I know the character of God. I know his word. I read his word. I do my best to study his word. And that's all I need. That's all I need. I'm kind of running out of voice today. I've been fighting this cold all week long. Our family's been fighting it. So I'm toning down only because I got about this much left. And I'm almost done. You're only one person. What good will your prayers do? I love that scripture. Yes, I'm only one person. But Sister Linda, if one can put 1,000, then two can put 10,000. So if I'm only one person praying, Brother Peter, and we have a whole church of, listen, just look at the devil when he says you're only one person and tell him that you were born just one person. You've never been any more, and you'll never be any less. I'm just one person. So when he likes to tell us that only one person, what good's one prayer going to do? Well, how about 1,000 prayers? How about a week of prayer and fasting? You see, we can take in 1 week's time, we can drive the forces of the enemy all the way back. We can release things into the spirit world. We can allow the spirit world that is here on our behalf to work on our behalf through our prayers and through our fasting. You say, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. There are sometimes I have situations that simply I just don't know how to pray about. But Romans 8:28 says the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself. Pastor Peter covered that this morning about us having the Spirit of the Holy Ghost inside of us. that spirit that's inside of us when we can't put it into words because our hearts and our minds just can't wrap ourselves around the situation. The Bible says that the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. You see, the Lord will take our feeble attempts at prayer and turn them into our most powerful weapon of war. But the key is we have to do it. We have to do it. So, church, as we enter in to this next week, the enemy is going to come at us. He's going to tell you that your sins will block your prayers. What does Isaiah 59:2? Your iniquities have separated from you from God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? But here's the rest of the story. Remember the Paul Harvey? Back in the Paul Harvey days, the rest of the story. Here's the rest of the story. If we confess our sins, there it is. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all of our iniquities, from all of our sins. Yes, if we're like Israel and we're prideful and we're not going to admit that we've done anything wrong and we're not going to admit that we're sinners, then yeah, God's going to just turn his face. But if we confess our sins, let's stand and have our musicians can come. Hebrews 12:1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles us. You see, as we start off our prayer and fasting this next week, tomorrow morning, start off your day with forgiveness in mind. Can we do that? And every time we stumble and fall, forgiveness should be the first thing on our minds. When God instructed Israel to sanctify yourselves, this is how we sanctify ourselves. Israel had to go through a process. We're going through a process, a week of prayer and fasting. We've given you a prayer journal, a prayer booklet that you can follow with all week long with your family. Use it. It's a weapon. It's full of scriptures. It's full of principles. And also, as we're a body of Christ, as we're a family, keep up on one another. If you have a brother that's fasting and he's struggling, give him a call. I've talked with some of you brothers. We're going to contact and be in contact with each other more than usual this next week. Because some of you are fighting some real battles, and the only way through this is going to be through prayer and fasting. That's going to break the stronghold that the enemy has over your family. It's going to break the stronghold that the enemy has over your finances, over your marriage, over your children. Prayer and fasting works, but you got to work it. Do I like fasting? No. Just being honest with you. I love bacon. I love pizza. I love burritos. I've talked about that. I haven't talked a lot about food behind the pulpit. I went for months every service. I talk about food. Listen, if it wasn't for food, none of us would even be here. We can't say food's overrated. No, We need it. God designed us that way. Did you know that? See, just as much as he gave us kale, he gave us beef, chicken, and shrimp, and lobster. Here I am getting off all on this tangent here. We're going out for pizza. It's my granddaughter's birthday, and we're going out for pizza after church. I'm excited about that because I love Papa Jimmy's Gutbuster Pizza. But you know what? It's not on my menu next week. I'm not going to be going into Papa Jimmy's. I'm going to be going into prayer. I'll say, God, we need revival. We need revival. And if it means pushing away from the dinner table and stepping into a prayer room, then that's what it takes. So as we close out this service this morning, I'm sorry, I am just struggling with my throat this morning. We'll get over it. We'll be ready Wednesday night. But as our worship team begins to begins to sing, we're going to open up this altar. And I just want you to come down. Come down as your family. If you can do that. You say, well, I'm single, then we're going to join together. Singles, join together with each other. Join in with the family. We're all together. We're all in this. I know we're not all going to fit down here. I just want to challenge us to take this focused prayer and fasting booklet home. Start with a repentant heart. Look at start right here and right now. Say, God, there's so many things in my life that aren't right. Maybe you've never repented of your sins. Maybe you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus. This morning is a great time to start. God bless you.
It's all about you. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Remember to take your prayer booklet with you. Just remember those half-truths that the enemy's going to throw at you this week. He's going to tell you that God already knows what you need, so there's no point in praying for it. He's going to tell you that you're not worthy. He's going to tell you that you're weak. He's going to tell you that your faith is small. He's going to tell you that you have no idea. It's a guessing game whether or not God's going to answer your prayers or not. He's going to tell you that you're only one person, and what good is that prayer going to do? He's going to tell you you don't know how to pray. He's going to tell you that I saw you sin, and God's not going to answer your prayer because you're a sinner. You just throw it all right back in his face and pray on. All right. God bless you. Thank you so very much to our worship team. Thank you, Brother Peter, for a great message this morning. And, we will be here Wednesday evening. Now, Wednesday evening, we probably will be in the fellowship hall again. We'll see how the progress on the pews go. They still may be working on them. If we're in the fellowship hall, you'll know when you get here. So, God bless you. Have a very blessed week. Keep track of one another. Pray for one another.